the Fan on Demand. Agree with everything he says, and you'll get along fine. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So the Toronto Maple Leafs cleaned out their lockers yesterday, took out the trash, and answered questions from the media for the last time before hitting the golf course, or wherever it is. Playoffless NHL players go. Probably nothing earth-shattering coming out of either Dave Nonis or Randy Carlyle's sessions with the media. If I had to pick something out, kind of the mixed messages that were being sent out regarding two players in particular, Dion Phaneuf and certainly James Reimer. Now, if you listen to comments about James Reimer, Dave Nonis is pretty clear that he thinks James Reimer can be a number one goaltender. But both he and certainly Randy Carlyle suggested that, every option was on the table when it came to making this team better for next year. So I don't know where you go with that. The other area of mixed message, maybe not mixed message so much as just interesting message, with Dion Phaneuf, when asked by Mike Grange of Sportsnet about Dion Phaneuf's status, Dave Nonis took the opportunity to state very clearly that there is nobody who is untouchable on this team. It's probably not a great surprise, but when I'm asked about my captain, knowing the type of postseason he is coming off of, knowing how much of a lightning rod he is in this city, I might have been a little more circumspect. That was a minor quibble I had. Beyond that, I will credit Dave Nonis and Randy Carlyle with doing a masterful job of starting the process of changing the message in this city when it comes to the hockey team. A period of mourning for that loss against the Bruins and the way it happened, but a not so subtle attempt to point out that it's not just the matter of 8 minutes or 10 minutes of one game when it comes to analyzing what was wrong and what was good with this team this season. It was a good first step towards moving on from that loss. Now, obviously the players are the ones who are going to have to do most of the moving on. But I find it interesting that Dave Nonis and Randy Carlyle spoke the way they did. And all I could think of was how nice it was to have a general manager up at the front, not adding any drama to an already dramatic situation, looking like a guy in control. Not a guy who was blindsided by something. And I cannot say enough times how impressed I have been with the leadership provided by Randy Carlyle and Dave Nonis. It is a welcome change, considering the way things have been done in the recent past with this hockey team. Gord Stellick, the co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game, and, of course, a valued member of Hockey Central, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Stellick.
Morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Did you hear anything yesterday that surprised you necessarily?
Not really. I'm of course listening to you, what you're saying, and I think the important things we heard for a couple of years that Luke Shen was the one untouchable. Okay.
Yes.
And they plastered him on all their TV ads all summer on Leafs TV and whatever. So I like that message too. That first of all, they're saying it's not a knock against anybody at all. I mean, James Reimer's situation is comparable to Felix Potvin all those years ago where, you know, Felix established himself but didn't grow really. And then that one shot from center ice that Al MacInnis bounced in on him kind of got them thinking. And they upgraded with Curtis Joseph, and then they continued that process with Ed Belfour. And so I like the candor there. It's not a knock. It's just if you get a chance to get Quick or Lundqvist or whatever it may be, that's what you're going to do for anybody. Because, you know, Jeff, the message I'm hearing them subliminally, and I don't know if a lot of fans are absorbing it, is that people are saying, how do we get by the Boston Bruins next time if it happens again? No. Got an 82-game season next year making the playoffs, okay?
Right.
You've got the Devils back with Marty Brodeur. You got the Flyers loaded for Bear. You got Carolina back with Cam Ward. I mean, it goes on. You got Buffalo looking to retool. It's going to be a hell of a job to make the playoffs again in an 82-game regular season, and you really have to guard against taking a step back, which I don't think a lot of people are realizing that that's a real possibility, that it's that difficult. Like, that's why, to me, I find it frustrating that you get this first round unraveling the way it did and going your way in the third period, and you miss that window of opportunity because it could be rather fleeting. So they're being candid about what it's going to take to just try to get status quo and also grow.
And, you know, as far as Dion Phaneuf goes, I don't know. You know, I take a look at the free agents who are going to be out there, the unrestricted free agents. And all I see is the only number I see in front of me is the number of minutes that Dion Phaneuf plays every game. And you know, Gord, I look at this team. I think it needs a number one center. I know it needs a number one center. I know it needs to upgrade in defense. I just don't know if you can do both of that by the trade market, because it's pretty clear that the answer to your, you know, your questions isn't out there as far as the unrestricted free agent market goes. That's a tough haul to make to trade assets to try to get a number one defenseman and number one center is awfully tough. It almost makes me think, if you're the Leafs, you have to make a quick decision and say, hey, you know what? Tyler Bozak is not the best player in the history of the NHL, but maybe a bird in the hand, you know? We got that guy. At least we're comfortable with him. Let's sign him and then focus on getting the defenseman.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing Jonas did say, they're unafraid to let him go, but he talked money. You know what I mean? And that's good, because the cap is going down. It's not, there is no Ryan Suter, Zach Parise situation this offseason. I think if you're looking at an unrestricted free agent, a lot of people are going to love David Clarkson. And to me, he's, you know, that type of guy that I think, you know, you'd want to fit here in Toronto would be perfect. But otherwise, if Joe Colburn, I think, can play on this team. I don't know, Morgan Riley, probably a year away. Jake Gardner certainly showed he could play. They've salvaged Cody Franson into a decent player. So there's so many positives that came out of last year, you know, and I think that's really a key that way. You know, it's funny, the Phaneuf thing. Nobody really asked him the blunt question, Jeff, yesterday about Phaneuf.
Right.
And then I thought later on, there's probably no real answer in that Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf are the, you know, two marquee players. They've got 1 year left. Starting in July, you can negotiate on an extension for them. And in Kessel's case, it's going to be interesting because Alexander Semin's $7+ million contract has kind of set a market there for players comparable to that. Where in Phaneuf's case, you know, really there's probably nothing to say. The guy, he's wearing the C, not because he grabbed it, they gave it to him. Ron Wilson loved this guy. He was the teacher's pet. Carlisle, not as much, but still loves the guy as a hockey player. They put him out 30 minutes, 28, 26 minutes a game. Not his fault. Why he's out there at the end, I don't get it. I don't know, you know, exhausted, but they do it. So next year, you can't talk an extension with a guy when you're talking about taking a cut, because there's no way he's going to be able to be inked for $6.5 million or whatever again. So he just plays, right? It's just there. He's going to wear the C. He's going to play. And then you decide next year by trade deadline time, do you trade him and get assets, or has he played himself into the heart and played himself into a lot of things about being the frontline D and the captain? Otherwise, you've got the opportunity to make that change.
Gord Stellick joins us in the Jeff Blair Show, and I know I heard you guys on Hockey Central yesterday, and the point was made, and I think it was you that made the point that really, you know, let's see, you don't have to do anything with Dion Phaneuf, as you're just saying. Just let that contract play out. See what you have, and then, as you said, make a decision at the trade deadline. I'm interested, though. You know what? I was trying, and I want to get your take on this, Gord. Has any hockey player in this city you can remember had his status change as much as Phil Kessel in the course of a season? I mean, you throw open the lines 2 months ago and asked people, would you give Phil Kessel an extension? And it might be 50-50. Now it's really heavily weighted in giving Phil Kessel an extension, I think.
Yeah, I think people have come to appreciate his value and skill. And in that respect, people like the best Leaf forward is supposed to be Wendell Clark, Daryl Sittler, Doug Gilmore, Matt Sedin, okay? Or Gary Roberts. I mean, Phil Kessel's the kid that sat in the back of class, who you don't think you go for a beer with, who isn't the kid you play road hockey against like Dougie Gilmore that you got in fights with all the time and all the crescents and streets around Ontario. So that's not his fault. All he's done is go out and be what Phil Kessel, he's delivered all he's supposed to deliver. And one thing I do like, Jeff, is that niggling thing that he had to live with about, and I still was wrong to duck the media and bring it to the forefront before that series, but the fact was the Bruins owned him. Zdeno Chara owned him. His old team owned him. And it was something they could rub salt in all the time. And he got that final monkey off his back. And so all, you know, people are sort of saying, yeah, you know what? All we really want Phil Kessel is be Phil Kessel. We got to see with a bit of a better team this year what he can do. And there's not many guys that can do that.
Gord, before we let you go, your best case scenario, I'm going to put you in the spot right now. Looking at the guys who are UFAs, looking at guys who might be available in the trade market. I know this is just blue skying. Is there a guy out there that you think is a guy that Dave Nonis is going to target?
Well, I mentioned Clarkson earlier, and that's the kind of guy I like, an Ontario kid, a character kid, and all that. And his season went down a little bit, but he's going to have a lot of, you know, a lot of suitors out there that way. I would like a goaltending situation, what Jean-Sebastien Giguère was supposed to bring a couple of years ago and did bring, but just didn't have the health. He had to have the surgery. But I mean, the veteran backup that can, you know, help James Reimer, but also it gives you something different than two kids in goal. And then on, you know, then what I like what they've done, whether it's you go out there and your pro scouts try to gauge where's the next Jay McClement or Cody Franson or another piece that you can get, you know, and Randy Carlyle, again, your coach has made players. Ron Wilson never did that and, you know, made them better players. Guys that maybe weren't fit somewhere else have found a fit here. And then, you throw in Gardner and Colburn, who I think are both ready, into the mix. And you got Riley not that far down the road. And it's pretty interesting. It's just kind of interesting that two of your bigger deals that were signed by this management group, he wasn't the GM, but Grabowski worked his ass off in the playoffs. But, you know, 5 years, 5.5, you're still expecting almost the number one center for that. And John Michael Isles, you know, those were guys they committed to in a big way. And they remain in this big scheme of thing, not huge contributors. And they kind of hamstring you a little bit with their cap hit. But, you know, still guys that have given value to the team, particularly Grabowski.
Gord, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You have a great long weekend too, Jeff.
Take care. That is Gord Stellick of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game and Hockey Central. We appreciate him joining us. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. My Twitter handle is at GloBlair. The question du jour, Dave Nonis says there are no untouchables in this team. Do you agree with that? And if there was, or if you think he's wrong, who is the player on the Leafs you would not part with this year? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. You're listening to The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Hockey Central. Today at noon. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. You heard the Leafs yesterday during their locker cleanout. You heard the presentation or the media session with Dave Nonis and Randy Carlyle, the head coach of the Leafs. Dave Nonis saying that there are no untouchables in this team. From your point of view, is there in fact anybody who should be untouchable in this team? I also want to take calls as well about the Rafi Torres suspension. I find it interesting that on all the panels yesterday, everywhere, on all the stations when you heard people talk about Rafi Torres, one of the key issues that seemed to stick in the craw of a lot of people is the fact that Rafi Torres's reputation had a great deal to do with his being suspended for the rest of the series between the Kings and the Sharks. And my argument is, of course it does, and of course it should. If you're a repeat offender, I don't think you deserve any benefit of the doubt. If you're a repeat offender, I think your suspension should, in fact, be built on the previous suspension. So I have no problem with the way the NHL handled and the way Brendan Shanahan handled the Rafi Torres suspension. I don't even care about the particulars of the hit. Rafi Torres has to change his game. This is the only way it's going to happen. You treat a repeat offender differently than you do someone who hasn't been suspended before. It's the same in society. If you're in front of the same judge two times or three times for a crime, you're probably going to get a heftier sentence than somebody who's just showing up in front of that. That's just normal. So I want to talk about that as well. I want to give you a chance to have your day before the long weekend. And that, I have absolutely no problem with Rafi Torres being suspended for the rest of this series. I would have had no problem if he was suspended for the entirety of the playoffs. And, you know, whether the hit was 5% illegal or 10% illegal is all BS. Rafi Torres is held to a different level than anybody else. He's held to a different standard than anybody else because of his track record. That's as it should be. Alan Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I want to talk, and you want to talk about the Leafs. You want to talk about the Leafs locker cleanout. The message you heard yesterday from Randy Carlisle and Dave Nonis. Al, Dave Nonis saying there's no untouchable in this team. Do you agree with him?
Yes, I do agree with him. There is no untouchable. If, you know, Wayne Gretzky got traded, anyone can get traded. If it means it's going to make your team better, you do it.
Okay.
But I just want to say I love your show, but I do want to say something because after Brian Burke got fired, I listened to everybody in this town. Nobody gave Brian Burke support for the job he did.
Yep.
I want to go on record as saying that Brian Burke was an excellent GM. He did a great job with this team, and I think that people did not wait long enough to see the fruits of his work because they didn't like his character. They didn't like his personality. And that's wrong.
See, I don't think it is. And I agree with you. I agree with you totally. And I've said on this show that looking back now, I think a lot of people, as far as his work as general manager goes, a lot of people owe Brian Burke an apology. James Reimer, you know, he was the real deal. I've said this. I've admitted that. But Brian Burke had to go as general manager of this franchise because he was creating issues for this ownership group. He had become an impediment to this team moving forward. And I really do believe that you're absolutely right, Al. The building blocks were put in place by Brian Burke. No doubt about that.
But
no doubt about that.
Doesn't that speak about this organization?
No.
Again? Every time we have something moving in the right direction, we got to find something that has nothing to do with hockey. Tomlin saw me sitting up there. Speaking of the firing of Brian Burke, he knows nothing about hockey. If you take a look at the...
Yeah, but Al, that decision wasn't made by him. The decision wasn't made by Tom Anselmi. It was made by ownership. And here's the thing. When you're owned by people who run a publicly traded company, or in this case, two publicly traded companies, you have to act a certain way. That's all there is to it. Yeah. You do. You can't be a guy who flies off the cuff. And my biggest issue with Brian Burke wasn't his judgment as a GM. It was the fact that he stuck his nose where it didn't belong. And you can't do that.
Why didn't they care in Anaheim? When Anaheim won the Cup, why didn't they care?
They got rid of him soon after.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to...
But doesn't that tell you something?
I mean, yeah, well...
I mean, no, Al, honestly, look, doesn't that tell you something about Brian Burke?
Yeah, I mean, he's got an abrasive personality. There's no doubt about
that.
I understand that. But when someone is doing a job and he's doing a good job, it doesn't really matter if you're getting results.
You know, he wasn't getting results, though.
He wasn't, but because we didn't wait long enough, because it took time. You have to remember that when this guy came on board, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Matt Stajan and if Wellwood were on our first line.
Yeah, but Al, here's the thing. This is the thing. This is the NHL. You should be able to make the playoffs in 2 or 3 years. You really should. Everybody, more than half the teams make the playoffs, Al. More than half the teams. You've got to be borderline incompetent to not have your team in the playoffs after 3 years. I mean, seriously. Think about the teams that made the playoffs while Brian Burke was spinning his wheels. You know? I mean, that's all I can say about it. I understand rebuild takes time. I get all that. But when you got more than half the teams making the playoffs, you got to get it done soon. Especially when you come in telling everybody that, oh, I'm going to use the full financial resources of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. I'm going to trade for John Tavares. I'm going to get the rights for John Tavares. Seriously. Alex in Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, good morning and
good morning,
happy
Alex.
Long weekend.
You
and
too.
We have to remember God Save the Queen. Burke and Wilson, how refreshing that you can hear, you can look and listen to Nolas and he talks in plain English and he's not a Harvard graduate and he doesn't blow smoke up your butt the way those other two guys did. And it's so refreshing. It's been a long time where we've actually had, and Carlisle also. I like these guys a lot, you know. It's just nice to have a positive, what I think anyway is a positive change. And they come out and they basically tell you what's happening and they don't, it's not the lawyer jargon. And I'm just, how refreshing. I'm really looking forward. The future looks bright. I called Boston 4 games and Leafs 1. And you know what? They surprised not only me, but a lot of people, obviously, with how well they played. And they showed a lot of testicular fortitude until the end there. I'm looking forward to next year. I think it's going to be a lot harder with a full season. But you know what? There is some positivity to look forward to. Have a great weekend, brother.
I appreciate it, Alex.
Thank you.
You too. Yeah, I agree. You know, I not only liked the message yesterday, but I just liked the way it was delivered. I really believe that Brian Burke's personality was a mismatch for this market. Now, like a lot of people, I didn't think that was the case when he took over the job. And I admit that, and I've said, our judgment of his judgment as far as players go. Clearly, a lot of us were off base because this team was better than a lot of us thought it was. But the point is, it didn't get there fast enough for Brian Burke. Now, I really have no problem with the decision to get rid of Brian Burke. I think it was time to change the messenger. People have got to get used to the fact that this team, that MLSNE, is now owned by Rogers and Bell, two publicly traded companies, two companies that have a lot of ears on the ground. They've got a lot of ears out there. Two companies that, as a matter of corporate survival, need to be attuned to what people are saying about their products, need to be attuned to all the rumors, all of that stuff, everything going on. If you're a public company, you need to keep your hand in all of these things. And I think that at the end of the day, Brian Burke was a mismatch for this market as well as this ownership. This market can only handle drama from a general manager if that team is winning. You saw it with J.P. Ricciardi. You've seen it with Brian Burke. What was one of Pat Gillick's strongest traits as a general manager? Yeah, there was flashpoints. He did not want Cito Gaston to manage the team. We know all this stuff. But Pat Gillick understood that you had to, at times, subvert your ego and your agenda to make the overall agenda work. Brian Burke never got that. Brian Burke thought his agenda was the agenda for the team, was the agenda for ownership. That was wrong. And ultimately, that's what cost him his job. Ryan in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Dave Nonis says nobody's untouchable in this team. How do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good.
I think only one guy is untouchable, and that's because of his age and his skill level. He has the potential of getting you a lot of points in a year, 80 to 90, maybe 100. It's just a matter of how he develops, and that's Kadri. And then, you know, just a quick comment on the Rafi Torres hit. The problem I have with the hit is if Rafi Torres goes in the corner with intent of coming out with the puck and trying to score, you know, then that's a great, great play. But this guy goes in the corner trying to kill somebody, and it's only a matter of time before somebody ends up dead.
Well, yeah, look, I just think that with as far as Rafi Torres goes, if you're San Jose, you knew what you were getting. You knew you were getting a guy who was, you know, a walking suspension. I mean, it can't be any clearer than that. And I have absolutely no problem with the way the NHL handled it. I might have given him a longer suspension. Repeat offender. Repeat offenders don't deserve breaks anywhere. They don't get them anywhere. Repeat offenders get one of two things. They either get treatment or they get a stiffer sentence. So I think Rafi Torres got off lightly. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. As to Nazem Kadri, I don't think there are guys. I think if you asked Dave Nonis, if you gave Dave Nonis a do-over from yesterday, what he might have said is, hey, nobody's untouchable on this team, but there are degrees of availability. Now, I know that goes without saying, but there are degrees of availability. And I would think Nazem Kadri's probably one of those players that would be in the, man, this would be tough to move category, along with a guy like Kessel. Kessel is a no-trade clause next year. I don't know. Along with a guy like Kessel, you know, for different reasons, a guy like, you'd probably move Jay McClement, but at the same time, you know, he's got some value for you. There are guys who are available to certain degrees, and I would think Nazem Kadri would be one of those guys that may not be as available as somebody else. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. John Shannon will join us, and we'll continue to take your calls. This is a Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The 2013 MasterCard Memorial Cup. Tonight at 8, Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Mark McDonald on Twitter. Fraser McLaren is untouchable because, well, no one else would touch him. We are taking your calls as to Leafs players you would not trade or Leafs players you think are untouchable. Dave Nonis suggesting that there is, in fact, nobody that he wouldn't move if the price is right. Probably degrees of availability. Robert in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Do you have an issue with Dave Nonis saying that there's really nobody on this team that he wouldn't consider moving if the price is right?
Jeff, I don't understand that comment at all. I mean, I think, I don't know what he's trying to get out of the players by actually saying that. Yes, technically, nobody's really untouchable, but the reality is, first of all, you got a guy like Joffrey Lupo, who's had a who's always performing well. He just signed with the Leafs. He's a bona fide scorer for the amount of games he's been in. He's been a prolific goal scorer. People talk about him being a captain. You just can't find goal scorers like that who want to play in Toronto and are currently proven and playing in our system. and are doing well. Then you got a guy like Jay Gardner, who's got a potential to be, I'm not going to say his, but he has a potential to be like a Bobby Orr or a Reg Leach, that type of player.
Potential. Well, he's got potential to be a great offensive player. The
Correct.
Problem is, I don't think he's got potential to be a number one defenseman necessarily.
I 100% agree with you. But then again, Phil Kessel was horrible on defense too. Mm-hmm. And look what Randy Carlyle's done with him. Now, he hasn't made him in a phenomenal two-way player, but at the same time, he's improved. Yes, you know, but Jay Gardner is so young. Yeah, I 100% agree. Defensively, no. But the upside of him as a offensive defenseman, you can't find those guys.
Yeah, and Robert, that's why I was saying I think there are degrees of availability here. And I think that's, I like what Dave Nona said by and large, providing that deep down he realizes that, you know.
Why is he saying it though, Jeff?
Pardon me?
Why is he saying that? What's his reason for saying that, you think?
You know, I think part of it is he realizes that, he saw what happened with Brian Burke. And I think Dave Nonis's first reaction to a lot of things is, okay, I'm not going to get emotional about this either way. I'm going to be very matter of fact. I'm not going to have a spirited defense of what a great group of guys I have and all that. I'm going to be very matter of fact. I'm going to answer the questions as clearly as I can. And I think that's exactly why he answered the question the way he did. And I like that. I like the fact that he answered a question in a way that has us discussing it. As opposed to now, can you imagine how Brian Burke might have answered that?
Hey, Jeff, You know the only reason I can possibly think for him to say that is, for one, that you listen, you know, no matter what we think of you, we'll move you if we have to improve our team. I like that aspect of it. And I'm just realizing, perhaps he's saying it too, he can't center out individuals because that wouldn't look good either.
Yeah, well, and the one thing, and Robert, I appreciate the call. The one thing is Dave Nonis doesn't tip his hand the way Brian Burke would tip his hand. You know as well as I do, Brian Burke's news conference after that would have been, you know, well, we've got a lot of faith in this group. We think that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Or his reaction would be, we've got to get better. I didn't like what I saw from our captain. I didn't like what I saw from Dion Phaneuf. I still think James Reimer's a... What I like about Nonis is he has a way of not personalizing his answers. He has a way of keeping his answers general. Not great for our business. I mean, Brian Burke was great because he'd tell you stuff and he was colorful. From a media point of view, he was gold. Dave Nonis is a different guy. It'd be great if every sports executive was like Brian Burke when it came to dealing with the media. If you're a member of the media, if you're a fan, if you own a team, if you run a league, not so certain. Jeff in Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good day, Mr. Blair. How are
you? Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good. Couple things. One, Lupul, I think, is the only one I'd like to keep around. Anyone else is expendable on that team. And what I find about you is I've been in Asia for the last 4 years and listened on, and now I'm back in the country. Bottom line is Burke got fired, not because of his shenanigans. Burke, and you know it, and the media knows it, because he cheated on his wife.
Nah, you know what? Nobody has any information about it. And here's the thing, Jeff. Let me finish, because I've been in this business a long time, especially in newspapers. You know what? That would be a great story to break. That could make a writer or a reporter's career to break that story. You're going to get a raise. It's going to be one of the best things for your advancement in your career is to break that story.
Yes. Okay, Jeff.
But guess what? Guess what, Jeff? There was nothing there because a lot of people looked at it.
The season hadn't started. This was his team. I am not a fan of Burke by any means of the world.
But what, again, it doesn't matter the season. I made the point.
Why don't they be honest about why he got fired? It wasn't about his shenanigans and how he dealt with the press and this and that.
It was never about how he dealt with the press. I never said that. It was how he was and how he presented himself generally off the ice.
Okay.
How he presented himself, general.
And that's a bad, it's a bad on morals clause.
I don't know if it is. It doesn't, you know what? It doesn't even have anything to do with morals. It has to, do that you're working for a company that's owned by two publicly traded companies. That's the big deal. So you got to handle yourself a certain way. But, you know, I got to get the, no, Jeff, the rest of this stuff is crap. And I'll tell you why it's crap. First of all, nobody's got any proof. Secondly, and this is a big thing, and I don't understand why people can't understand this. A story like that is juicy. That's how you make your reputation as a reporter. People have this dumbass idea that somehow reporters would cover something up. Are you nuts? Do you know how much your career would be advanced by breaking a story like that?
Jeff, listen.
You know what? Seriously, Jeff, that pisses me off because that's somebody who's got no freaking clue about how the business works. None. I can tell you that. People have this dumb idea that somehow, everybody's going to cover up. Nobody's going to cover up for Brian Burke. That's red meat. I mean, seriously, people. Stuff like that is red meat. I mean, trust me. Anyhow, hopefully I've enlightened a few people. Because I know there's that thought out there. And, I can tell you that this idea of a media cover-up for anything is really overstated. It all depends, though, on having evidence. And you know what? Some jackass on Twitter ain't evidence. Some guy with 140 characters isn't evidence. Sorry. We had a little bit of a discussion about Rafi Torres' suspension by the NHL for his hit on Jarrett Stahl. And look, I heard a lot of people talking about, and a lot of commentators, a lot of guys who played the game. They're looking at the hit, and you've slowed it down 100,000 times, and it's really kind of shoulder and shoulder, and this is making the league soft and all this. But what really bothers me is when people say that, Rafi Torres' reputation was held against him. And my argument is damn straight it should be held against him. It's same in any court of law. Anything. If you're a repeat offender, you shouldn't expect any breaks. So I have no problem with the fact that Rafi Torres was suspended for the rest of the series. John Shannon of Sportsnet and Hockey Central joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. John, I wanted to ask you... Were you surprised by the length of this suspension or the context of the suspension?
No, not at all. I think you combine the fact that the NHL has been trying to get rid of this hit from the game, and they've made no bones about it. And the fact is they're trying to punish the repeat offenders. The guys have done it before. I think that's two for two. And if this was you or me doing that same hit, the suspension would have been two or three games. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the level right now for this type of hit, Jeff. And the fact that it is Rafi, who the league views in a different light because of his reputation, because of his record, then that's why it got to six. A maximum of six.
Right. You know, John, what I've noticed this year, and maybe it's because it was only a 48-game schedule. We're just in the playoffs now. But I guess what Matt Cook did to Erik Karlsson, some people may not agree with me on this, but you know what? I think these suspensions are having, by and large, I think they're having an impact. Don't you? Like I see, I don't know if I'm going to say I see guys necessarily pulling up or avoiding contact, but I'm seeing guys every now and then when they have a chance to lay a guy out, not necessarily, put a guy out as hard as they could.
Well, I hope so, because that is the goal, and it's not to be the pansification of the National Hockey League, to quote my friend Mike Milbury.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically to try to protect the players, and we are slowly working towards a time in this game when all hits to the head, whether they be incidental or whether they be intended, are viewed with the same rule book, and that will come with suspensions. It's inevitable. I think it's coming, and I don't know when, but I think they're trying to legislate it so that the head is someplace that nobody can hit at all. Period.
And John, I mean, I I think that that LA, we've talked a bit about this in this show, and I know other shows did, and I know you guys talked about it a lot. To me, that LA St. Louis series, that the people ought to, that ought to be put out on DVD for people to watch, because what I loved of that series, and I saw four of those games, what I liked in that series is, I mean, there were, it was no holds barred, but it was hard hitting, but there was, I don't know if it was an element of respect. It was just the hitting, it was conducted appropriately. I guess that's the way I would put it. To me, that was one of the best physical series I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I don't disagree with it. I think the number was 460 hits over the six games. I totally agree with you that the quality of the play, the you know, that you combine heavy hitting and speed at the same time, and somebody has actually deals in the fact that it's full body on body. And I think a lot of people would agree that that's the type of hockey people like.
Absolutely. So as far as the suspension goes, though, with Rafi Torres, how much of a message do you think it sends to players? Well, not players with a reputation or with the track record. Does it send any type of reputation to players who maybe don't have the track record Rafi Torres does?
I can't answer that because you know as well as I do that athletes play on a level of instinct as they do intent. And when they get to a certain point in the way they play the game, it's just they don't really think what they do. I think they have to manage their emotions and they have to manage their situations and be a little more aware. I certainly hope that the players have an opportunity to think before they do it. But at the same time, you know, every once in a while, it's going to rear its ugly head. We're going to have a stupid play, and we're going to have a situation that is not very attractive for the players and not very attractive for the game itself.
John, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Take care. That is John Shannon of Hockey Central and Sportsnet. Rafi Torres suspended for the remainder of the San Jose Sharks LA Kings series for his hit on Jared Staal. Mike Wilner, the one and only Mike Wilner, is in New York City with the rest of the broadcast crew for the first game of a three-game series between the Jays and Yankees in the Bronx tonight. He will join us, and we'll talk a little baseball as we get you set up for Baseball Central. All that ahead. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.